Welcome to the Royally Us podcast. I'm your host, Christina Garibaldi, and this week, Meghan Markle talks about her upcoming baby girl, Kate and William launch their YouTube channel, and Harry and William's relationship takes another turn for the worse. As always, I am joined by Molly Mulshine, and this week, Princess Diana's voice and presence coach, Stuart Pierce, shares how he helped find her authentic self in his brand new book, Diana, The Voice of Change. How are you, Molly?
I'm good, Christina. How are you?
I'm doing good. Lots of news to get to this week. Kate and William launched their new YouTube channel. Meghan's talking about her baby. Got a lot to get to.
So much. Did not see the YouTube channel coming.
No, definitely didn't. All right, well, let's get to our royal roundup. And speaking of the Vax Live concert, Meghan made a rare appearance in a taped segment and discussed the birth of her upcoming daughter. She's about to pop any single day. And she, you know, she's just so excited about welcoming a daughter into the world and, you know, kind of used this platform to empower women, tell people to get vaccinated and, you know, using her voice for good.
Absolutely. And this really seems like the kind of remarks that she wouldn't have been able to make as a part of the royal family, because some people think that vaccines are political. She also talked about some socio-political things. She really touched on some topics that, you know, as a royal family member, she might not have been able to go for. So this definitely looked like a step in the direction that she's going to be going in from here on out.
Definitely. Yes. And as we know, Harry did make a public appearance in person at the event. She decided to tape something from home because, like we said, she's about to give birth any day, but it was nice to see her. And this will probably be the last public appearance that she makes before she gives birth, I would imagine.
Right. And she got a little promo in for her new book. She was sitting on the bench.
Yes. Yes, she was sitting on the bench. Yes. We're going to get to the book in just a second because there's, of course, a lot of drama surrounding that as well. But before we get to that, let's talk about Kate and William because they have been busy launching their brand new YouTube channel and showing off a bit of a playful side. So take a look.
By the way, you'll be careful what you say now because these guys, they're filming.
I know. So you don't need to roll your arm.
Do you not roll this?
No.
I love this. I love seeing like a different side of them. I think that this probably is long overdue. I would have loved to see this like years and years ago, but better late than never.
It's really cool. And it seems like it's not just going to be the typical, like, you know, sort of, I don't want to say boring, but you know, PR approved royal videos. It looks like it's going to be fun videos where they're joking around. There's two moments in that first, you know, 25 second intro video where William and Kate are giggling together and we never see that. So I think this is a really cool move for them.
I do too. The first couple videos after were mostly about her Hold Still campaign, but I am definitely looking forward to those lighthearted, playful moments. Of course, last week we saw that video that they released with their family. So it seems like they're, you know, a little bit more relatable in a certain sense, which I love. And I think that's what the monarchy needs, or the royal family needs, is for us to be able to relate to them a little bit more. So I think this is great.
Right. And it just shows how they're sort of evolving beyond the precedent that was set in the last century, which was, you know, keeping the monarchy at an arm's length. They're being so much more open and it's, you know, it's a cool approach.
Yeah. I mean, of course, there's always going to be comparisons to what Harry and Meghan are doing. I mean, do you feel like they're kind of taking a page out of Harry and Meghan's book or, you know, this is just the next step in what they want to do?
You know, if you asked me a year and a half ago, I would have said absolutely. But now Meghan and Harry haven't even had Instagram for a year. So it seems like William and Kate are the ones who are owning social media now, right?
No, that's so true. I mean, they've been, you know, killing it with all their content, you know, with their engagement, or not the engagement, but their 10-year anniversary photos that they just released. Like we said, the video of the family and now the YouTube channel. They're really kind of stepping up their social media game.
Yeah, the tables have turned, yeah, you know? Really, I mean, if Meghan relaunches the Tig, then we can start to see a little bit more of a comparison. But yeah, right now it seems like social media is the Cambridge's game.
Mm-hmm, totally. All right, well, let's move on to Queen Elizabeth, because she reflected on earning the life-saving award as a teenager, calling it a great achievement at such a young age. And Her Majesty, who received her Junior Respiration Award in 1941, so she had a Zoom call about this, and she was kind of like joking around a little bit and having a good time because she, you know, received this over 80 years ago.
All the royals were in a jokey mood this week. William and Kate were giggling away on their YouTube. The Queen was laughing on this Zoom. It was really sweet. She was talking about how she was 12 or 14 years old. They showed this adorable photo of her, and she said it was a very long time along, I'm afraid. And she just laughed and laughed about it. So that was really nice.
Definitely. It was nice to see her having a laughing moment, especially after everything that she's been through in the last few weeks with Philip and everything like that. So nice to see her having a good time and a good laugh.
Yeah, definitely.
So Molly, you mentioned the book earlier. So we have to talk about Meghan's children book, which she just announced. It is called The Bench, and it is inspired by Prince Harry's relationship with his son, Archie. Now, following the announcement, a lot of people were saying that this reminded them of another book called The Boy on the Bench by Corinne Averis. And she came to Meghan's defense, actually saying that, you know, they're two different books. They're not plagiarized, not at all. But of course, there has to be some drama.
I know. It's like there's more than one bench in the world. And people were saying that the illustrations were the same. They look nothing alike to me. And I guess The Boy on the Bench is about a boy who's shy, and he's looking from the bench and watching all the little kids play. And Meghan, her book, The Bench, is about her sitting and watching Archie play with his dad. So to me, those are two very different. They both have a bench, but you and I are both sitting on chairs right now, and I'm not like Christina's copying me. Right. So it's just, I don't know. I think fair play to the author for standing up for Meghan. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. Yes, there are plenty of benches out there and a lot of people sit on them. So a lot of people have different experiences when they sit on them. But yes, that was about a boy, you know, kind of not being able to participate with his friends. And this is a totally different story. It's about her experience with her husband and her son. So two totally different things. Both, I'm sure, are very enjoyable for your children. So pick them both up.
Yeah, get them both. There's nothing wrong with more books in the world. It's exactly. Only a good thing. Exactly. The one thing I did find interesting was that Meghan used her title on the front cover. It says, by the Duchess of Sussex. I was surprised by that just because she said in the interview that she doesn't care about the pomp and pageantry. And it's not, titles are not important to her. So I was a little confused by that part. I have to admit.
Right. No, that is a little confusing. It's like, do you want to be a duchess? Do you not want to be a duchess? Kind of make up your mind. All right. Well, it is now time to spill the royal tea. And we've got a lot of gossip and rumors to discuss as always. And despite the recent reunion, we are hearing that tensions are only getting worse between Prince Harry and Prince William. And it's actually coming from a reliable source with Tom Bradby, as we know that he conducted that ITV interview with Meghan way back in the day when she said that she was not okay. And he is friends with Harry.
So yeah, we're hearing that William and Harry's relationship has been slowly deteriorating. Those are the words that he used, which are pretty strong words. And apparently they're not talking right now, which
I know.
Yeah.
It's surprising because we're going to hear a little bit later from Stuart, who has a different take on it that maybe that, you know, they are talking. It seems like, you know, unless we hear it from Harry and William at this point, it's kind of like anybody's guess. It really is. I mean, maybe they are talking, you know, we did see them together at Prince Philip's funeral and they were having some conversation. But I don't know. Unless we hear it from them, I really don't know what to believe anymore.
I know. I mean, the thing is, yeah, I want to believe what I see with my own eyes. Yeah. And what I am not seeing is the two of them putting on a public united front. You know, they spoke for a few minutes after their grandfather's funeral. And that was the first time we have seen them interact in over a year. So if it is all a media creation, if it is overblown, I think they could be doing more to sort of get these stories to go away. Don't you think?
I think so too. But maybe that they will do that at Diana's memorial statue unveiling, you know, in a couple months. Maybe they will put on that united front. There are some rumors that they're going to do separate speeches and not speak together, which of course will just, you know, create more of a media frenzy. But at this point, you know, you want to see them kind of put the past behind them, especially when it comes to recognizing and honoring their mom.
Right. And just the fact that like their kids are all the same age and they aren't growing up together. It just makes me sad because, like, you know, we all have, many of us are lucky to have great memories of our cousins growing up. And it's just sad to think that, you know, Archie won't have that. So yeah, we all want to see them be friends again. Just get on a Zoom, like send out screenshots from a Zoom, leak them, and then we'll all be done with it. And we'll be, stop talking about it. That's all we want.
That's all we want. Well, we're hearing that Prince Charles may actually never forgive his son after this tell-all interview, which seems a bit harsh.
It does seem harsh. And I kind of understand why he'd be so angry, because this has sort of, this combined with the last season of The Crown and the upcoming season of The Crown are just tanking so much public goodwill that Charles and Camilla have fought to bring to themselves for like over a decade now. Mm-hmm. So it does make sense that he would be very frustrated. But yeah, I mean, for a parent not to forgive their child, if that's true, it's harsh. It's harsh.
It is. It is harsh. And, you know, Harry has obviously been through a lot. They lost their mom. And I'm sure he's like, kind of feels in a way he's almost lost his dad too. So it's got to be really difficult for him to kind of come to grips with this and, you know, kind of feel like an outsider in his own family. Speculation. Who knows if he actually feels like that, but you know, it's got to be really difficult to watch, you know, his family move forward while he's kind of like left in the background.
Yeah, hopefully a new leaf will turn over and they'll all be able to kind of put it behind them.
Yeah, totally. All right, well, now it is time to break down the royal rules, and Molly and I are super excited about this conversation that we had with Stuart Pearce, who is Princess Diana's voice and presence coach. Now, he shared how he helped find her authentic self in his new book, Diana, the Voice of Change. He talked all about, you know, how Diana was feeling right before her death, you know, the impact that she still has on so many women, and why he waited so long to write this book. Take a look. Well, Stuart, thank you so much again for joining us. We're so excited to talk to you all about this, your brand new book, Diana, the Voice of Change. What made you, after all these years, want to write this book?
Because of the times that we're living in, where so many of you amazing women are being aroused to find your voices and to speak out about the ignominy, the disappointments, the frustrations, the brutality, the inequity that you've all experienced. And also, you know, Diana said to me shortly before she died, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if all of the work that we've done together became a book? But if you do, please don't publish it until after the boys are married. And so with all the things that are going on with Harry and Meghan, I thought it was really important to step forward and say, okay, well, their mother was one of the first great voices of change. And now Meghan is becoming another great voice of change. And that how we can support them and how we can support you all in this endeavor.
Wow, that's fascinating. How did you and Diana first become connected?
I was introduced to her by a patron of mine who was a very successful restaurateur here in the City of London, who knew Diana very, very well. And I remember it coming up once early in Diana's career. And I said, no, there's so much circus around Diana. I don't see how I can actually really help her. And also there were people like myself, you know, there were coaches, therapists, healers who had been working with her. And then they took their stories to the daily papers. Mm-hmm. So she was very badly scarred by betrayal. And I just didn't think I could serve that adequately. It wasn't that I wasn't honored. I was immensely honored. And then when it came back again, I was set up, I think, because the person that I was referring to, Mara Burney, invited me to have lunch at her restaurant, which I did quite often. And she said, there's somebody I want you to meet. But I said, who is it? And she wouldn't tell me. And then I arrived, and guess who I was sitting next to? The wonderful, the beautiful eyes, these blue eyes were just astonishing. And she grabbed hold of my arm and said, you will work with me, won't you? I mean, you know, what do you say? No.
Wow.
And that began a 2-year relationship, which was completely confidential. That was the agreement that we came to, that it would be absolutely confidential, that she would always come to my studio. I would never go to Kensington Palace, that she would pay me through cash. If she wanted me, she'd call on her cell phone. And so I became a confidant as well as a coach.
But did she talk about any specific things in her life that she really wanted to work on, or there were things that were really bothering her? Because obviously, you know, she was in the midst of all this royal drama with the Panorama interview. So, you know, what were those specific things that she confided in you about?
Well, of course, confided in me is an apt phrase. Well, I mean, she was immensely honest. Mm-hmm. And so she spoke about everything that was disturbing her. And, you know, my major role was actually to try and find a quality of balance in her life, that this is what she was experiencing, but perhaps there was another perception. This, she may feel victimized, but did she really feel that she was a victim or a creature of circumstance? What was extraordinary from the very beginning, from 1981, is that she was really not given a tremendous amount of advice. It's sort of within the royal family, it's assumed you will either grow through it or you know it. I mean, we saw the same thing with Meghan. She was given very little advice, but being the smart woman that Meghan is, she really made a lot of inquiries. Whereas Diana, I feel that she was so in love with Charles that she thought that he would assist her. And I'm sure he did a tremendous amount. But at the same time, she also felt at sea on occasion. Mm-hmm. So she disclosed lots and lots and lots of things about the difficulties that she was having, and particularly about her bulimia, which she was, by the time that I saw her, she was slowly beginning to really balance herself. And in fact, I don't think she'd had a bulimic experience, so to speak, for at least a couple of years when we met. So she was immensely sensitive. You see, this is the point. And as with all sensitives, what's really important in my position is that I allow them to feel what the proportion of their empathy is all about, and how it, although they may perceive to be trifled or assaulted in some way, that actually what it was to do with is the fact that the other person just simply didn't know how to approach somebody in her position, you know, because she was on one level immensely accessible, and on another level she was also a royal personage and had personal protection officers around her.
What was her state of mind before she passed away?
She was immensely happy. I mean, she was having a really wonderful time with Dodie, who was probably the most beautiful lover that she had. So she was having a wonderful, wonderful time. She so much enjoyed his joie de vivre, his ease, the flow with which everything took place. So she was in a very good spot. Mm-hmm. And looking extraordinary. I mean, her radiance was just amazing. And it wasn't just because she had a good makeup artist. It was actually to do with what was taking place within her. So she was really joyous. Yeah. I think that added to the shock of what happened that day in August 1997, which was just so surprising. It came out of the blue.
I want to go back to the beginning when you said that Diana asked you not to publish this book until after her sons were married. Why was that?
I feel that she wanted them to be stable in the love that she wanted for them, you know, with their chosen bride. That was the meaning that I put to it, you know, that it was to do with a level of maturity that they could begin to then reflect through their wives on the possibility of all of the exercises that I include within the book. They've been through an interesting ride. And of course, we know with Harry that it's only quite recently, which has, you know, developed their interest in mental health issues and this extraordinary project that he's doing with Oprah. But only quite recently has he been able to resolve the huge pain of his mother's passing. That was something that he pushed aside. So she was extraordinarily intuitive. And now I see it in retrospect so much more clearly that she was literally waiting for them to move into that level of emotional resonance themselves, where there was a level of emotional intelligence that they could review her life from, and therefore see her not as a weak vessel, but to see her as being the brilliant, sensitive, and intensely excavated woman that she was.
Definitely an interesting conversation. Make sure everybody go pick up Stuart's book on June 15th. It is a must read. And he was so lovely.
Yeah, so interesting. I mean, I just want to hear everything he has to say about Diana. I'm definitely going to check that book out.
Totally. All right. Well, before we wrap up, we have to check in on the royal kids. And we had some two big royal birthdays with Princess Charlotte and, of course, baby Archie. And it seems like the two were very well celebrated.
Yes, we got some insider details from William himself. He was on a visit to Babcock Vehicle Engineering to talk about ventilators, and someone asked him about Charlotte, and he said she had a lovely birthday. Last year, her birthday was in lockdown, but this year we were able to have one other family over. So that's nice. She had a little bit of a more normal day this year.
Definitely. And Archie celebrated his second birthday, and Meghan and Harry released a photo. Couldn't see his face, but he was holding some balloons, and they, shared a special message along with it. And it seemed like he was also well celebrated, something very low key at home. The Queen zoomed in to see how he was doing. So that was nice. And we also got some reporting that Meghan had a very low key Mother's Day. Harry gave her, a homemade gift from he and Archie. So it seems like they're settling down and getting ready for baby number two.
How exciting. This is going to be the calm before the storm for them, for sure.
Seriously. Yeah, it's going to be a circus in that house, but it'll be a lot of fun. Well, Molly, thank you so much, as always, for running down all things royals.
Thank you, Christina.
All right. Make sure to keep commenting, keep subscribing. We'll see you guys next week.